Waiting. So I think one of the toughest things sometimes we have to do in our lives. You know, there's different reasons that we wait, but so often we ask questions, why, when, how much longer? And sometimes when we are filled with these questions, it gets to our very heart because we don't know and we don't have control. And it's in those times where we go and turn to God's Word, and God tells us to wait in Him. Maybe you find yourself at work or at school waiting for the day to be done, waiting for that clock to hit 5 o'clock. Maybe you're waiting for something else that's dependent upon time. Maybe you're waiting for Christmas. Or maybe you're somebody that you're just waiting for Christmas to be done. I don't know. We wait all the time. In our gospel lesson, we hear about John the Baptist. And where was he waiting from? Prison. Sometimes we wait in the midst of difficult and challenging situations. We wait where we wonder, God, why did you let this happen? I don't understand. I don't get it. When will you rescue me? When will you redeem me? When will you change my situation? Waiting is hard. And yet James tells us, and let's read this together. Be patient, therefore, brothers. Be patient. Wait. Don't you love that? Huh, Roger? No. Yeah, you know, waiting, it's hard, and yet Scripture tells us that it's part of our life of following Jesus. It's part of a season to wait in God. It's part of who we are as Christians to wait to know that God is acting, God has acted, and He will act again. And so as we're patient, we wait in the Lord. We especially wait until He comes. That's what Advent means. It means coming. And so during the season of Advent, we're waiting for Jesus to come. We're waiting to celebrate His birth, but also we're waiting until Jesus returns. And if you know that something is going to happen, you prepare for it. If you know, as Hannah talked about last week, the king is going to visit you, you're going to clean your house. And so the season of Advent is a season of preparation, waiting, but waiting with expectation that God is coming, that God is acting, that God is working, even when we're not aware of it. And so James gives us some very tangible illustrations. He talks about the farmer who waits for the earth, for rain to come at the beginning and the end. One of my favorite stories that my grandpa told me, my grandpa grew up in a farm in Culbertson, Nebraska, out in the southwest corner, not quite Colorado, but in the hills. And I remember my grandpa telling a story about when he was a boy. They had planted the crops, and a couple of their land, they had water, it was being sustained, but there was one part of their crops that was up a little bit higher on a little bit of a plateau, and he remembered his dad saying, if we don't get rain soon, the crop's going to die. And so my grandpa was like, well, what do we do? And his dad, the farmer, said, we wait on the Lord, and we pray. And my grandpa shared that they waited. And in the next couple of days, you know, sometimes clouds come over and it looks like it's going to rain. In western Nebraska, it looks like it's going to rain a lot, but it never does. And so one of these clouds that looked like it should rain, but it didn't rain where they were at, but they could see it raining. And guess where it rained? Pretty much on that plot of land that needed the rain. And for my grandpa, that was just a sign for him that God was watching over them, that God was real, that God, as they waited patiently for him to act, provided in his time, in his way. And so we look at the farmers, and what a brisk farming is. You put the seed in the ground, you try to fertilize, if you got irrigation, you water it, but there's so many things outside of your control. And yet we trust in God to provide even while we wait. And so while we wait, James says to strengthen, to establish your heart. This is a term that means to, while you're waiting, while you may be discouraged, plant your heart, your life, your hopes in Jesus Christ. Because it's in Him that we wait. It's in God that we find strength while we wait with the hope that we have. Sometimes this is hard. Sometimes life throws us curveballs. Sometimes we wait and we wonder, God, what are you doing? God, where are you leading me? And it's in the midst of this that God says, wait in me. It's interesting that God hears his people in the from Egypt. They're crying out to God, God, save us, rescue us from being slaves. And Scripture says that God heard their complaints. That the one place that we can complain is to God, because he hears and he answers. But we're so told not to complain, not to grumble, to who? To one another, right? How many of you, when you find yourself waiting for something, maybe you expect something and life isn't going your way, that you get in a grumble mode? You get in a complaining mode. And again, like I said, God wants to hear our grumbles and complaints, but James says, don't grumble against one another, okay? Grumble to God. Share your complaints. In the Old Testament, they had a word for complaining to God. Anybody remember what that word is? It's called a lament. God, why have you brought us from the land that we love to Babylon? Why have you taken us into exile? They lamented to God. James says that when we do that to one another, it leads to us judging God, saying, God, what you're doing isn't right. God, you don't know what's best. Why are you allowing this to happen? So God says, be careful. In times of waiting, when life is challenging, bring it to me. Bring it to me in prayer, because I care. I want to hear from you. Grumble, complain to me through your prayers with faith. But then James goes on to say that if we remain steadfast, God says you are blessed. If we endure patiently, if we endure in faith, if we remain steadfast, we are blessed. Okay? I know that's not what anybody signs up for when we become Christians, right? I want to endure patiently great suffering and trials. But what does James say earlier in his book? Consider trials and suffering and persecution as a joy. Why? Because when we remain steadfast, it's a blessing. James also says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, what is he going to receive? The crown of life. We are living for more than this world. Because who's coming back? Jesus is coming back. And sometimes we forget that. We live for this moment. We live for this world. We live for our dreams. We live for what we want. And God says there's something bigger. Something bigger to live for. Live for me. Live for my kingdom. Trust me. Live to receive this crown of life. And even when it means that we must suffer, even when it means that we must endure steadfastly, we do so knowing that in Christ, when we wait in God, we are blessed. And so James goes on to lift up two examples. He lifts up the prophets, okay? Prophets always didn't have the easiest of times. And he also lifts up Job. How good a time did Job have? Not a good time at all. So in the season of Advent, as we prepare for Christmas, sometimes people are filled with joy. But maybe you've got something in your heart, in your life, that's weighing you down. Maybe it's not as bad as Job, who lost all of his kids and all of his possessions, and then lost his health, but he couldn't die. He just sat in ashes and rubbed his scabs with a piece of pottery. Or maybe you're like a prophet who you did what God asked you to do, but it seemed like the world was set against you. You were held with contempt by the people around you. You endured persecution and suffering. But God says, be patient and wait in the Lord, because God is at work. John from the prison, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the one that they have been waiting for. Is he the one that we've been longing for as God's people? And you know what Jesus says? He says, I'm doing something. Tell John that the blind received their sight, that the lame walk, that the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the good news is preached to the poor. Isn't that good stuff? God was doing something through his son, Jesus Christ, that he began when he walked on this earth, that he finished when Jesus died on the cross, that not only is he healing people physically, but he gives spiritual healing. That when we doubt God, when we don't wait patiently, when we grumble and complain to the people around us, when we grumble, just about life, God promises us that when we ask for forgiveness, God forgives. God sets us on a path that leads to life. James puts it this way, you have seen the purposes of the Lord. How the Lord is, what are the two words that are described for the Lord? Let's say them together. Compassionate and merciful. That's what we remember during Advent. That God is compassionate, that God is merciful. He has been that way in the past. He has been that way through his son, Jesus Christ. He is compassionate. He is merciful as we head into the future. No matter what the circumstances of our life may be, God doesn't change. He is compassionate. He is merciful. And he calls us to wait in him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we together wait in the Lord, remembering God's mercy, remembering his compassion, remembering that God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross for us. May we trust in him even while we wait. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to be patient. Strengthen our hearts while we wait, and help us remember, oh Lord, that your coming is at hand. Lord, draw us into a closer walk, a closer relationship with you, that we may be ever mindful of your purposes in our life, that we may not live for this world, but for the world to come. Lord, enable each one of us to wait steadfastly, that when our life on earth is ended, or Jesus, when you return, that you may grant us the crown of life. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.